Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in, call telling our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I am so excited for all of my friends that are around the world that are listening on today. Truly, this is just another glorious day in the Lord. And so I welcome you from all around the world, those that are in Indonesia, those that are in and those that's in the Philippines, as well as those here in the United States. We want to know, we're excited about you and what God is doing in and through your life. Truly, this is the best day of your life and the beginning of a brand new horizon in your life. So take heart, child of God, that even all of that testing and frustration and tension in your heart and mind, recognize God is just doing a new thing in your life, preparing you for a whole new beginning. And so in that preparation time, you feel as things seem as out of sort, but it's really God. God is creating and God is molding and shaping and getting you ready to go to a higher place and a higher realm in Him. So I want you to be so encouraged. On today, we're going to be talking about the blessings of being. And we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, verses 1 through verse number 10. And we're going to look at the word of the Lord on today. And it states, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not evil shall be upon earth. If the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it lie and shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the plow shall not weep. Thou knowest not what is the way of the sower, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not what shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike and good, and like alike good. Truly, the light sweet and pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. And so on today, we'll be looking at verse number 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it for many days. In today's lesson, we address the great principle of giving. We will discover biblical reason why we should give, prudent and proper way to give, and the rewards of giving. We begin by looking at God's own example to us. Giving is one of God's most common behavior. God is a giver. In the beginning, God gave light, the earth, firmament, the waters, the seas, and everything living, every living creature. God initiated everything from God. Over God's giving predicted the very sin of mankind. And give every individual life in his mother's womb. A person needs only a short-term heart, yeah, to appreciate the fact that every single heartbeat is a precious gift from God. Every breath that we draw into our lungs and the vital anatomic function of our bodies are all the miraculous gift from God. Everything we can see, hear, taste, and touch, and smell is the recipient of the priceless to have the family and the family. A reproof is proof over a roof over our head, over our, and a place to sleep, comforting, comfortable at night, are wonderful benefits from the great benefactor, our God. God gives freely and abundantly and nourishing us with rain, nourishing in the ground. Isaiah described the rain and the snow watering the earth as giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Likewise, God sent his word to individuals that they may prosper in his will. God's character is the model for us all. We should be holy because God is holy. Jesus taught us to forgive because God forgave us. Today we will study that all true believers should be givers because God is the model giver, and we should strive to be like him. Now, we're going to look at various parts, the grace of giving. And then we're going to look at give freely and give expectantly. And then give liberally and give wisely. And so let's take a look at these three aspects of giving. First of all, to give freely. When Solomon the preacher wrote, "Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days," Ecclesiastes 1, he was suggesting that gift often must be done without the ability to foresee its result. When we give, we do not really know what the result of our giving will be or when the result will come. We only know it will come, probably after many days. Now, the bread we cast on the water is symbolically of our substance, the stuff of our survival. The water represents the people to whom we give. In Revelation 17 and 15, the water John saw represented people and multitudes. We are to give to many people out of our own life-sustaining ability to give, knowing that it will eventually produce positive results, both for those to whom we gave and for us as well. Jesus Christ was the bread sent down from heaven. John 6:32-35. God was the first to cast his own bread upon the water. And given his only begotten son, he brought many people into glory through the Jesus Christ. God obviously knew that his investment would return unto him after many days. When we give, whether money, time, or we make an open-end investment in others and in the work of God's kingdom. By giving to others from all that God has, we are planting eternal seeds that will stay, yield a wonderful harvest of benefit. The new harvest will again multiply and benefit. The eternal maxim about giving comes from Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 10:8. Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus first recognized what the Heavenly Father had given, and then he gave exactly that to others. In John 6:7-40, Jesus revealed one of the most significant rules of his ministry. And that reads on this line, "And the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, raise them up at the last day. John 6:37-40. We are not responsible for what others have or to give. We are specifically accountable to God for what he has given up and what we choose to do with it. We are to give according to what the Heavenly Father gives us, giving to that which support his holy purpose. John 17 contains a lengthy prayer Jesus prayed, and in it, Jesus repeatedly acknowledged what the Heavenly Father had given him. And you can see John 17, verses 1 through 26. More importantly, Jesus systematically gave to mankind according to everything the Heavenly Father had given him. Everything he received from his Father, he intentionally gave to those who were given to him. The flow never stopped in Jesus. As revelations, blessings, and power came to him, he passed it on to his followers and ultimately to all mankind. We should conscientiously take inventory of what God has given us and exercise good stewardship by passing it on to those who are within our circles of influence. We need to follow the example of Jesus. Number one, recognize what God has given us. Number two, recognize whom God has given to us. Number three, give what we have received to those God has given to us. And so here, those three distinctions, we must take sit down and look around and see everything that God has given, even revelation, even blessing, even power and things, of all these things that God has given unto us. And then second, recognize whom the people who God has put in our spheres of influence are around us, and recognize all of those that God unto us. And then give unto those and give back unto people that God has placed around you and to be a blessing to you, and you can be a blessing and things to them, and vice versa and things. And even those that have not to give, as to being a blessing. You know, just one of the things that I share with people sometimes is just giving sometimes your presence. That means being there. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have money or I don't have a whole lot to give. But if you look around, you have a lot more to give than you can even really imagine in your mind. But it takes a moment, it takes time for us to step aside and to really to do an assessment of all the things you really do have. And come out, you'll find yourself being tremendously blessed and overwhelmed about what all God has really indeed has blessed you with and given unto you. And God wants to just to flow that out and flow that through in your life. Now, let's take a look here. The blessing Jesus brought to all people tend to pass through him outwardly in a concentric circle. This blessing begins with his 12 disciples, then outward to the 70, then on to the multitude. The opposite of giving is greed. If we are selfish or greedy, we miss entirely the purpose for which we are born. God never gave us so that we could greedily hoard for his blessing or withhold from giving to others. Greed prevents others from receiving intended blessing. Our very life and survival depend on the gift we have freely received from God. Life, health, strength, talent, and ability, and others. We are debtors in this life. We have already received more than we could ever repay. What I was going to say earlier and was alluring to and sharing is the fact that sometimes just giving ourselves and being there for that individual, having a listening ear, just walking with that individual, journeying with that individual, doing on a crisis, is far more than anything else. So when we think in terms, you know, Lord, I've been a giver. Yes, you have your hands. You have your heart. You have kind words that you write. And you can share and you can express appreciation and love by just sharing your feelings, your emotions, and being a blessing as well. The Apostle Paul felt debtedness to God. He spoke of his dispensation of the gospel committed unto him. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel. First Corinthians 9, also expressed his debt to the Romans. He said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. Romans 1:11. He admitted that he was a debtor to the Greeks, the barbarian, the wise, and the unwise, and to the Romans. We should thank God for Paul's readiness to give of himself to those ancient people. His gift to them had now descended nearly 2,000 years and continues to bless people today. Every gift a person gives blesses both the one to whom the gift is given and the giver as well. The gift often continues to bear fruit and bless people long after the giver has forgotten about it. Giving set many blessings in motion. And I think that a lot of times people don't realize that if you want your blessing to be set in motion, start being a blessing and start being a giver. That's why I really stress to the saints at the house of God that, you know, pay your tithes, give to the man or the woman of God. That sets in motion the blessings unto your life. I did not really connect that until God gave me the revelation and said, Helen, the people's blessing is tied in to them blessing the man or the woman of God that are feeding them, as well as to giving of their tithes and offerings, that there may be meat in God's house. And once I began to really to share that and teach that and share it with the people of God, I began to see the people of God begin to be blessed and prosper, and doors begin to open unto them because it set in motion the blessing of God to propel in their lives. And so it's not about a prosperity ministry, and that's what I do think in prosperity. I think in prosperity of your soul's prospering, relationship prospering, families prospering, church prospering, and things. So it's not just a monetary prosperity thing, but it's a prosperity in your whole life. Relationships are prospering and things. And so when we think of prosperity, we're thinking about the holistic realm of prosperity, not just financial wealth thing, but just also well-being. Prospering in your life by living a healthy and a vibrant life is another area of prosperity, and your family with peace about family is another area of prosperity. It said when the widow gave the prophet of the Lord her last bit of oil and bread meal, God miraculously resupplied her with oil and meal. When we faithfully give to others as God has blessed us, we trigger a miraculous chain of blessing between God and those to whom we minister. And look how powerful that is. That is to release a chain of miraculous blessings that take place when you move forth in that realm. Then the next area, we just talked about give freely. Now, let's move to another distinction or point. Give expectantly. Ecclesiastes 11:1, it says, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, when you look at that, you shall find it. That means you got to be looking for it and things for you to see it happen. It said the classic message in a bottle illustrate giving with expectancy. Over the century, countless people have dropped a bottle into the ocean with a message and sent to an unknown recipient. Often the message in the bottle contains address to open the books finally found and opened. It was always interesting to hear from the stranger who found and then learn how far and long the lock traveled. There was no assurance that he would ever find the bottle, but the prospect of success made the endeavor interesting and enjoyable. Now, when we give to further the cause of Jesus Christ, we never know how far or how long our gift may work, or the lives that will be benefited by. On the judgment day, however, when all secrets are secrets, it will be interesting to see how many rewards will be because of our giving. Do good and live and hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. That's over in Luke chapter number 6:35. Romans 12 contains a list of service gifts. The list is in verse number 6 through 8, and it includes prophet, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, and ruling, administration, and showing mercy. We can safely conclude that giving is one of the substantial pillars and ministry in the church. Specifically to the giver, Paul admonished, "He that giveth, let him do it simplistically." Romans 12:8. God promised to reward us if we give with good intention. However, we should not give for the express purpose of receiving a reward or recognition for the act. We should give because it is right to give. We give expectantly, believing that our gift will reward and bless others. In the process, we are also blessed of God. Now let's look over here at Matthew verses 1-4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them; otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before them, as the hypocrite do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest, let not thy right hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may always be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6, verses number 1 through 4. Giving stimulates the cycles of life. Our giving benefits those to whom we give. Then out of their love, they give to others, and the cycle of the blessing never ends. We have a possibility to help those less fortunate than others. But whoso have this world broke good and sees his need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in them? My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John 3, verses number 17 through 18. The next one is that give liberally. Our giving should not be stingy or spared. A farmer who holds back on the seed he sows will suffer in the harvest. A Christian who rarely gives will never see a rich and bountiful harvest. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, or her heart, so give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7. God promises to reward us for liberality. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11 and 20. A person need not despair if their resources are few and he have little to give. Jesus only we give according to our ability to give. The poor widow who cast in the two mites attracted Jesus' attention outside the temple. And Jesus said she gave more than they offered, for all these had of their abundance the offering of God. But she of her penury have asked in all the living that she had. Luke 21, verses 3 through 4. God is not concerned about the earthly value of the thing we give. He is concerned about the spiritual and eternal value. Someone who may never have much money to give can write a kind letter or note of encouragement, which may be a priceless gift. Still, words alone are unexpectable if we are able to do more. See James 2, verses 15 and 7. Jesus noted the insensitive priest and the uncaring Levi who ignored a fallen man. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw, he had compassion on him. In 33, Jesus commended the Samaritan benevolence and told his followers to go and do the same. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul admonished the elders at Ephesus, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you might also support the weak, and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verses 35. All the churches, tabernacle, and temples that were ever built were built by the free will offering of giving people. The tabernacle was constructed from the free will offering of the people. Moses told the people, every man give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Deuteronomy 16 and 17. And they, everyone whose heart stirred them up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the works of the tabernacle for congregation, for all his service, and for the glorious garments. You'll find that over in Exodus 35, verses number 21. Now, let's look at our final point. So here we said give liberally, that the temple was built by the free will giving of the people and things, and how we looked at and examined Deuteronomy 16 and 17, and also Exodus verse 35 through 21. Now we're looking at give wisely. If a person sows enough seeds, eventually something will grow. There is no reason to refrain from giving seeds of goodness. Giving set in motion a certain parade of miracles. There will be a harvest if one person persistently continues to sow. Winds or dark clouds of adversity should not going and giving. We must inhibit faith and believing that as we obey God's eternal law, something good, positive, and fruitful will come of it. And it will, children of God. I tell you, God will bless his people for giving and being a blessing. Now, let's look at another point here. The law of sowing and reaping. God established the law of sowing and reaping in the creation. God created seeds that would perpetuate life indefinitely. In his design, plants produce seeds within which power to reproduce themselves into a new plant, which also produce life-giving continual seed. God giving is a never-ending chain reaction of benevolence. Every gift God gives precipitates additional fruits and ongoing seed. Our eternal salvation is the greatest gift of God to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:10. John the Baptist revealed man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John 3:27. All we have was given to us from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. James 1:17. God also commands us to give. Yeah. From that time of Moses, God did harvesters to leave remnants of grain in the field for the poor gleaners to collect. In the book of Ruth, these were called handful of purpose. John the Baptist preached giving, Luke 3:11. We should spare what we have with those who have need. Jesus told his follower in Luke 12:33 to sell that which he has and provide yourself that which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that fadeth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. He told the rich ruler, if thou wilt be perfect, and that which thou have, give for, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Matthew 15:21. Jesus preached to the multitude for 3 days. He told his disciple, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days, nothing to eat. Mark 8:2. He recognized their need and set them out to meet the need, for Jesus was a giver. He took the small portion of the food that was available. He blessed it and gave it to the people. It never ran out. About 4,000 men, women, and children ate, and there were 7 baskets full of food left over. Jesus therefore illustrated proof of his teaching. Luke 6:38 states, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, again, as looking at another aspect, it said giving as an act of faith. Things we do not understand. And we're going to look at things that we do by faith. Now, let's look at the things we do not understand. Ecclesiastes 11:5 states, as thou knowest not what is the ways of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Number one, the ways of the spirit. At best, the law of sowing and weeping is mysterious. We never know when and where the seed will prosper or how the spirit will work. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it is cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. John 3:8. Number two, groweth in the womb of a mother. Modern science has documented that the growth of the human fetus in the womb. It has categorized each and every stage of development from conception to birth. We even understand the molecules in the cellular process from insemination to adulthood and even death. However, we do not know exactly how life exists in the first place. We cannot yet recreate life in a test tube. We cannot start from scratch and produce any sophisticated life form. Only the mighty God can create life. Only God can fuel the process of life. Similarly, it is also impossible to understand the miraculous dynamics of giving. Who could have predicted the widow's unfailing cruse of oil? Who can understand how God miraculously sent a financial miracle the very day after the people gave in a special offering for the needs of the needs of the, even though we may not understand the needs of God, we have confidence in the principle of sowing, weeping, and giving. That profound. Now, let's look at another point. The things we do by faith. Ecclesiastes 11 and 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, whether they do both, shall be alike good. We must have complete faith and confidence in God's process. Not know which seed prosper or which gift will produce a miracle, but we know that ultimately the harvest will follow the seed we have sown by faith. And I think that that is so key, children of God, because sometimes people can, and there's many times a lot of negative things that is centered around giving, especially in the church that are coming from outside forces when it even comes to giving into the church, into the work of God. But we must recognize that God's economy and God's financial plan is still yea and amen. And look how the woman who was given and encouraged to give of her oil and her, and that was her very last. But remember earlier we said that when you give, it set things in motion, and especially for the upbuilding of God's kingdom and things, that set in motion your miracles, your blessings that God is going to do in and through in your life. Now, let's look at another thing. I said the blessing of giving our lives. God guaranteed that the giver will be ample rewarded. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, said that the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the doors of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will be not room enough to you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, here it is, for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3, verses 10, verses number 12. God will rebuke the devourer, and he will not allow your fruit of your ground to be destroyed, and that vine that will cast forth her fruit, not be her time, because this is what the Lord has said. As we give, these are the blessings that God will give to us. It is not only our giving to the work of God bless, how we also are blessed when we give to others in need. See Psalms 41, verses 1 through 3. The Lord even given as a personal person, he will repay us. That's the key. He that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That which he giveth will he pay him again. Proverbs 19 and 17. God will repay and give it back unto you, child of God. The very first Gentile to Holy Ghost in the New Testament was an Italian man named Cornelius. One of the reasons God sent an angel to him and miraculously sent Peter to minister him was because Cornelius was a believer. He was a devout man, and that one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. Acts 10 and 2. The angels of the Lord fastened his eyes on Cornelius and said, thy prayers and thy arms shall come up for a memorial before God. Can we afford, children of God, to miss the lesson that Cornelius' generosity touched the heart of God? Jesus taught that many rewards, though not salvation itself, will be based on our giving. He listed several examples of our benevolence for which he is looking, giving food to the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, giving clothes to the naked, giving comfort to the sick and in prison, Jesus is playing. Inasmuch as you have done this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verses 40. And so that's very key for us, and of God, as we look into our own personal life and begin to look, you know, at these various aspects. And there's various and numerous types of ways. Some people do it via the United Way by giving into that so that they can be dispersed. And things, there are church missions and things. And some work on in the food bank by giving up their time. Some go out and visit the sick, those that are in prison. All these dynamics are key for us as children of God, as God is looking for a return in our life. And he's to bless. He is going to tremendously bless us. Amen. In a mighty and a special way. You may say, well, you can't do all of that and all the overwhelming. But you know what? You can just start little by little and things and just saying, Lord, you know, who can I be today? And it may be something just right down in your own home that, you know, you have no more use in excellent shape. And they know someone that probably just got their apartment or just starting out and things, maybe you can bless them with that item or even just giving kind words and just being there with for an individual. There's many ways that we can give, but there are those ways, an example that God has given us also that is in the Bible as well. Now let's look. Without God, life is vanity. Ecclesiastes 11:7-8 states, truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if men live mirrors and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Brevity of light, ascent, the need to do good while there is occasion to do so. As one person wrote, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will pass. Forgiving, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And remember that. You are laying up treasures in heaven. And God is going to bless you. Yes, you. God is going to tremendously bless. Remember the judgment at life's end. God promised to reward those who give, but those who selfishly hoard for themselves and receive a stern warning. Jesus told a parable about the rich man who said, I will pull down my barns and build great. There will be bestowed all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those things be which thou hast provided. So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself, not rich toward God. Luke 12, verses 18 through 21. And then finally, in our conclusion, life is with eternity in view. Ecclesiastes 11 and 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these will bring thee into judgment. It is tragic to meditate these earth lessons of life, Paul said. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3. Our heart and our motive must be right in all that they do. Otherwise, we endanger our soul. And so here it is that I think that is very key to make a distinction that even in our giving, our motive must be right as well. Because there are people give, but their motive could be totally wrong. But God is looking at the heart as well as at the motive in which you give from the bowels of your compassion. And God will really, he will tremendously bless his people as we give unto the people of God and in need and those that are thirsty and hungry. God will bless his people beyond honor and even in our mind. God is the model giver. We should often pause and reflect upon the many benefits we have received from him. In ourselves blessing and name them one by one, we will certainly all desire to follow his example by giving them and to others who are in need. After we are aware of all the Heavenly Father have given to us, we will realize how truly rich in many ways. But we cannot stop really recognizing how blessed of God we are. We need to continue to consider how many ways we can pass these blessings on to others. They that sow in tears shall weep in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalms 126, verses 5 through 6. And so here it is, children of God. If I can just share a testimony, I know when I first gave my life to the Lord, and there was a young lady that the Lord was, who I was considered as my spiritual sister in the Lord. She was very just one that walked alongside of me and encouraged me in the things of God, because the things of God was all new to me, and this was over close to 30 years ago, but just so gracious. But one day she came to me, she said, "Whenever God bless you, be a blessing. And in doing, God will open up the heaven and pour you out a blessing." And she encouraged me about my tithes, because I didn't understand it, about giving of my tithes and offering and things. And she just sat me down and just explained it all to me. And I tell you, when I first experienced the overtaking of the window of being outpoured from heaven, it was just so overwhelming that it just blessed me. I had to literally call people to come over and partake and be part of the blessing, because I felt that I could not keep that blessing to myself. It was just, I was overtaken and blessed by the blessings of the Lord. And I come to tell you, children of God, God is still yet blessing his people, and God's economy is an economy that cannot be described or cannot even put words, just like we cannot even understand how bones grow into the body, in the womb, in that fetus and things, and how a life take. We can take and say the different stages and when these particular things birth forth or come to fruition, but how in actuality of all of the minute dynamics of it, we are not able to grasp it at all, or even to have someone to try to reproduce it without God and thing. It is just phenomenal. And so it is with God and God's economy. When you be faithful to God and do it according as to God say do it, will bless you. And God will just open up windows of heaven and just pour you out blessing upon blessings that you will not have room enough to receive. And I come to tell you that it is true and it is so, and that God will bless his people as never before. He will open up the windows of heaven and just keep pouring out blessings upon his people that we will not have room enough to receive. And I come to tell you today, child of God, that God is going to bless you. God is going to just open up his heavenly windows, give you a blessing that you would have not room enough to receive, because that's the type of God in which we serve. He is a right now God. He's a holy God. He's the everlasting Father. And he's just that type of God. And it is indeed a blessing in giving and being a giver. And that's what the Bible said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I don't know about you. I purposed in my heart and in my mind to be a giver, giving of the word of the Lord, giving of my time and talent, my resources and energy and things for the upbuilding for the Father's kingdom, to propel his kingdom forward and the word and the gospel to go forward and to touch the life of God's people throughout the land. That act of giving of my time to teach his people around the world and throughout the universe, the principles of God, that their life may be blessed and that their life can line up with the principles of God. And so at one day that they can have that eternal life that the Bible has stated and put forth it and fast in the word of the Lord. And so we are so excited about you on today, children of God, as you become givers. It starts somewhere. Start giving. Give into the ministry. Give in things and give to more and give a drink of water and things and watch God bless you. That sets in motion the miracles and the blessings of the Lord. Oh, child of God, if I was to sit here and tell you all of the marvelous benefits and blessings that I've seen God do and how God still doing it and want to do that in the life of his people and in the economy in which we live right now. God will sustain his people. Well, even in the famine, will provide manna for his people. Who would not want to be on God's side? Not want to live in the kingdom of God and doing the work and the will of the Lord our God. Truly, he is a gracious God, a God that's full of compassion, a God that's full of mercy, and that's full of love. Oh, lift your heads, oh, ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting Father. And of glory shall come in. Who is King of glory? Glory. Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Selah. Yalalobosha. True God is great and he's greatly to be praised. And we're so excited about the Lord. We're excited about what God is doing in and through his life of his people. So I encourage you, child of God, to be encouraged in what you're doing. If you are already a giver, just look around and look at all of the beautiful blessings, the life, health, and strength that God has given to you. Even your families is what God is doing and wrought great things in and through the life of your family. That's a blessing all by itself. And things, the peace of mind, the joy down in your soul, the healing of your nation, that's a blessing all by itself. And so, child of God, I pray that this day that will open up understanding and that you become a blessed blur as never before. Don't withhold from giving in to the house of God, because in doing that, you will be blessed. Because it will be for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. And God will richly and greatly bless you, child of God, as you give to his house. Remember, the Lord our God loves you with an everlasting love. And in his economy is the true blessing. And watch God sustain his people, provide, release, miraculous blessings all throughout the land on all those who have put their trust and confidence in the Lord our God. So don't hold back and don't withhold that which is in your power to be a blessing to somebody else and things. And God will in turn be a blessing to you. He will rebuke the devourer. He will not let the fruit of your land to be spoiled. God will do it. And he's just that loving type of that we serve. And I stand today in his authority and power to speak a release and blessing into your life, that giving will become a joy and become a liberal thing in your life, and you will be a bountiful giver, and God will just overtake you and bless you and keep you by his power divine. Watch God do it. Watch God open the door. Watch God make a way out of no way. Watch God do what he promised he would do as never before. Truly, he's great, and he's greatly to be praised. And I want you to know God loves you. and so do I, with the everlasting love. Keep up the great work. Don't stop, child of God. God love you, and you are special unto him. Now, and we're going to get ready to close, but I want you to know that you are very special in the eyesight of God, and God have a blessing for you. It's on its way, and don't you dare back up, child of God. Gracious Father, we come once again in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, calling on your name to seek your face, asking, oh God, that you will move by your power divine, that you will open the door, and that, Lord, that God will make a way out of no way in the life of your people, dear God. Walk your miracle. Walk, Lord, your hand upon your people. And, oh, God, we praise you because you're the righteous Savior. You're the Holy One of Israel. Lord, bless, make a way out of no way, rebuke the devourer. And, oh, God, with your blessed name, you are there right now, God. Have your way, O God, and move by your power divine. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, O God, and the honor that's due unto your blessed name. O God, we love you and we praise you and give you the glory and the honor. Truly, you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. And Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give your name the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. We're excited about God. We're excited about what God is doing in and through your life. Remember, as Pastor Orm will always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one miracle, one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, my child. Watch God do it. It is in the Bible, because the Bible said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. Matthew 7:7. As well as number 8. Watch God bless you, even this week. Expect it. Look for it, because you have cast your bread upon the water. And the Bible said, in many days it shall come back. Even, and when you think about putting bread on water, you want to think about something. It expands. It gets bigger, because it absorbs all of the water. And so it is with your gifts. When you give up your gift, it shall expand and get bigger when it comes back to you. God will do it just like that. And so I pray that same return, some 60-fold, 100-fold, back into your life. And so we say thank you for each and every one of your seeds that have been sown. Continue. God is going to do the miraculous. And nobody can stop the hand and purpose of God. Because God is God all by himself, and he needs not another. And so be thou blessed, my child, and continue to look to the hill from which cometh your help. Truly, your help comes from the Lord, who have made the heaven and the earth. The Bible said he will not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. He is not going to sleep, nor will he slumber. But guess what, child of God? His all-seeing eye, all-seeing heart is turned towards you. So be thou blessed. Don't quench, don't back up, and hold fast to the mighty power and hand of God, and he will tremendously bless you as never before. This has been our prayer. I pray that you've been blessed. And remember, there is the blessing of giving. And so as you leave this place, I send you forth in the name of Jesus, as givers, and the blessings of the Lord will be upon you, and even the blessing of Abraham will be upon you as you move forward in the things of God, and watch God miraculously fashion your blessings in your life, because you can't be God's given, and in his economy is still yet vibrant. And doing well. I don't care if the Dow Jones going down. I don't care what is going on. God is in control, and God will make a way out of no way. Keep giving your tithes. Keep giving your offering. Keep doing what God will want you to do. See who you can bless and watch God turn around and bless you real good. That is my prayer, child. You can make it. Get on up. Go back out and do it. And I send you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Continue on is my prayer. God bless.